it's time to bring to you today's message by Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. May God bless you as you listen.
Because I assume that you were not clapping for me. Because if you are clapping for me, definitely that's too much. But then if you are clapping for the Lord, that's too small. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Jesus. That's all right. Go ahead. Bless the Lord. Come on. Give the Lord a big hand. It's worthy to be praised. It's worthy to be adored. He's the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the I am that I am, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and Omega. Come on, give him a big hand. It's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. Before we proceed further tonight, I will want you to pray for yourself. You see, one day Peter failed, and he failed woefully. He fished all night, and he caught nothing. His future looked bleak. He couldn't go home because there was no food to take home, no money to take home, and mother-in-law was at home. Then Jesus stepped into his boat, and the tide turned. From total failure, he moved over to total success. So I want you to call on God yourself tonight and pray. Pray like people who need miracles. And say, Lord, step into my boat tonight. Let's talk to the Lord. Step into my boat tonight and change my failure to success. Step into the boat of my life tonight and bring about a dramatic change for the better. In every situation of my life, Father, step into my boat tonight and bring about a transformation so mighty, my Father and my God, that I will never forget this day. King of Glory, step into my boat tonight. In all areas that I have failed, let there be success. Let there be success physically. Let there be success materially. Let there be success mentally. Let there be success spiritually. Let there be success emotionally. Let there be success maritally. Step into my boat tonight, Father, and transform my life completely beyond recognition. Yes, O Lord, this is the night when you must do something special in my life. Step into my boat tonight, Father. Become my senior partner from this hour onward. Step into my boat, O Lord, and just take control. Just take control. Father, just take control. Just take over. Take over completely. Take over every facet of my life. And just glorify your holy name, Lord. Yes, Lord, step into my boat. You are invited, Lord. You are welcome. You're welcome. Just step into my boat, Lord, and take control absolutely, completely, and change every failure in my life to success. Transform every facet of my life and glorify your name thereby. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. And you pray one more prayer. The Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. I want you to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me today. Let me hear your voice. After all, it is written, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from all their disruptions. Speak to me as an individual today. Let's talk to the Almighty God. Let me hear your voice, Father. Speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. Speak to me. Whether it is something pleasant or something hard, let me hear your voice tonight. Speak to me. Because if I hear your voice, my Father and my God, I will know in which direction to turn. If you send your word to me tonight, my Father and my God, I know you will heal me, body, soul, and spirit. If you speak your word to me tonight, I know you will deliver me from all the oppressions of the enemy. Speak to me tonight, Lord. Let me hear your voice. I am one of your sheep, Lord. I'm not a goat. I want to hear your voice, Lord. Speak to me and glorify your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Eternal Rock of Ages, I just want to bless your name. I want to thank you especially for your children that are gathered here today. I know you, O Lord, that you never do anything by accident. You're a God of plan. Before you laid the foundations of the world, you had planned the life of every one of us. We are not here by accident tonight, Lord. We are here to keep an appointment with you. Thank you that we are here. Thank you that we are counted worthy to be in your presence today. Thank you because something will happen to us tonight that we will never forget. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. My Father and my God, on behalf of all your children present, I am extending the invitation once again. The boats of our lives are available. Step in, O Lord. Amen. Father, step in. Amen. O Lord, step in. Amen. And stay put. Amen. Lord, from now on, Lord, become our senior partners. Amen. Change our failures to success. Amen. Speak to us, O Lord. Amen. And glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Well, shake hands with one or two people and say, get ready for a surprise. You know, when I was younger, because I'm still young, praise the Lord, and we used to have what we call literary and debating society in our secondary school days. I don't know if you had anything like that. And then occasionally we have debates. And the man who will win is not the man who makes the points. Nobody was really interested in points. The man who wins is the man who entertains. And the way you entertain in those days is by using big words. Whether they are relevant or not, just does not matter. And so when it is your turn to speak and you make one or two points quickly, then you begin to use some big words and there be some rascals like yourself in the congregation or where, in the gathering, who will be saying, hey, hey, hey. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Ah, okay, good. That makes my job easy because I want to do exactly that. And I'm sure that there are some rascals like myself who will help me to say, hey, hey.
And you see, what you normally do is you start with adjectives that are simple, and then you keep on going higher and higher. And when you run out of normal adjectives, then you begin to create some. So if I'm to describe what has happened here tonight, are you ready? I will say the performance of the tribe of Judah, the choir of the junior church, Pastor Kunle Ajayi, everything put together has been good, great, nice, wonderful, fantastic, fabulous, fantabulous, and hallelujahistic. Oh, glory be to God. So if you have never heard hallelujahistic before, don't look for it in the dictionary. It's not every day we have anniversaries. And so normally anniversary should be a time of rejoicing, of dancing, of music. And the preacher, if he wants to be invited back, ought to preach a very pleasant sermon. Unfortunately for me, my children have chosen a topic that is difficult to treat pleasantly: preparing for the harvest. They told me the topic only yesterday, I think. 2 days ago, I had already prepared my sermon. Then they now gave me the theme. So I had to change. And because they are the one who gave me the theme, I just have to obey. Fortunately, you had prayed that God will speak to you. And you know, the African elders have a saying. They said, when two children of the same mother enter into the room and they come out smiling, it means they have not been speaking truth one to the other. So if you don't go out of here smiling, that's no problem. At least it will mean that I've spoken the truth to you. Are you ready to hear the truth? Well, it's even too late now. You're already in. Preparing for the harvest. Before you begin to talk about preparing for the harvest, you have to be sure that there will be a harvest. And according to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, without any doubt, there will be a harvest. Because Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, seed time and harvest time shall never cease. And when we talk about preparing for harvest, we need to know a little bit more about this harvest business. And then we will know why we need to prepare. And so on and so forth. There is a law which is probably one of the most powerful laws in the world, because it's true in the physical, it is true in the spiritual, it is true whether you are a Christian, it's true whether you are a pagan, it's true everywhere. And it's called the law of harvest. I want to read it to you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9. That's the law of harvest. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's the law of harvest. But he went on to say further, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. That's the law of harvest. It simply says, whatsoever you sow, that is what you shall reap. But it goes a little further than that, because this same law of harvest says that the harvest is always greater than the seed sown. In the book of Hosea, chapter 8, verse 7, Hosea 8, verse 7 says, those who sow the wind shall reap the wild wind. In other words, the harvest will be much bigger than the seed sown. And the Bible tells us further in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, that the harvest is directly proportional to the amount of seed sown. He said, when you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap how? Bountifully. Which is one of the reasons why many poor people remain poor. Because they have so little, and so they don't want to sow of the little. And, you know, like the Lord promises followers, you give me one thing, I will give you 100 in return. So the man who gives one gets 1 times 100. Whereas the one who gives 10 gets 10 times 100. And of course, the one who gives 0 gets 0 times 100, which is what? You don't have to get a PhD in math to know that. But even something more crucial about this law of harvest is that the harvest is always the same kind as the seed. According to James chapter 3, verse 12, when you plant fig, you cannot harvest grapes or vine. If you plant tomato, you cannot reap banana. I think that one is closer home. Whatever you sow, that's exactly what you shall reap. And I've always told this story, which I believe I should repeat, at least to get you to laugh a little before we get to areas where we might not be able to laugh too much. I was traveling out of Nigeria for the first time several years ago, and I was going to Kenya to attend a conference. And we'll be gone for 1 week. And my beloved wife said, well, you've never traveled out before. We don't know what they eat in Kenya. So before you go, let me feed you very well. So that if you eat nothing, at least for the next 1 week, you will remember that you ate something good at home. So she prepared Pandaria. If you don't know what that one means, that's none of your business. It doesn't matter. Anyway, she prepared Pandaria and bought one big chicken, prepared it, set the table for me to eat and then go to the airport. Just as the table was set, some of my friends came from Ibadan and they were hungry. I mean, they went straight to the table and they finished my chicken and my pounded yam. And it was too late to prepare any new thing, so I just said, all right, and I went to the airport and traveled to Kenya. I've never been to Kenya before, but every day of the conference, somebody came and invited me to lunch, and everywhere we went, they served me chicken. So I sold chicken in Nigeria. I harvested it in Kenya. Hallelujah. So now you know a little about the harvest. The question now is, why do we need to prepare for the harvest? And let's talk about, when we talk about harvest now, let's keep our mind on the harvest of souls. For the time being, we will come to other harvests in a moment. Why do we need to prepare for the harvest of souls that is coming, particularly in Europe? Because whether you believe it or not, a great revival is beginning in Europe this month. And it's going to bring in millions of souls. You may not believe it, it doesn't matter. I know the one who is speaking through me. And I'm sure they have a rough idea that's coming. That's why they chose this theme. Why must we prepare for the harvest? According to Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21, Luke 12, verse 16 to 21, the Bible talked about a man whose farm brought in a mighty harvest. And the man said, what shall I do? I've got a lot of harvest coming in now. What will I do? He said, well, I will break down my barns and build bigger ones and then store everything in. And then I will say to my soul, Take your rest. We've got a lot of goods laid up for many, many more years. Just enjoy. The Bible said, God spoke that day, that very day, and said, "Thou fool, this day will thy soul be required of you." And the man died that night. When harvest comes in suddenly and in very large quantities, those who are not prepared will die. Revival always comes like a storm. You remember when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost? It came like a mighty rushing wind. Anything that had not been well rooted that day would have been uprooted. Well, it wasn't long before Ananias and Sapphira were uprooted. A revival is about to break out. It's going to be mighty. Unfortunately, those who are not prepared will die. Not necessarily physically, but spiritually. I'll give you an example. It's a young man that I used to know, a Christian of the highest order. I mean, born again, sanctified, spirit-filled, everything you can think about, talk-talking, Bible-believing, everything. I knew him when he was just stepping out. I prayed with him in those days. I counseled with him in those days. And then he started a church. And the church grew. I mean, mightily. And all of a sudden, brother so-and-so became bishop so-and-so. There's nothing wrong in being a bishop. Maybe I have a couple of bishops here too. Those who are laughing know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. But then the bishop, because there are so many people now in the church, being a very big man, cannot travel alone. So when he goes to the right, there are ladies. He moves to the left, ladies. A lady to carry his drinking cup, another lady to carry his Bible, another lady to carry his briefcase, another lady to carry an handkerchief just in case he sneezes. And the bishop died. Spiritually, I mean. He's still alive today, but as far as God is concerned, he's no longer his own bishop. Are you getting my point? When revival comes suddenly, when you prosper beyond your expectation, if you are not careful, prosperity can kill. And then if you look at Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 8, Luke 5, verse 1 to 8, is the story that we've just prayed about, the story of Peter. He fished all night, he caught nothing, the Lord stepped into his boat, there was a little conversation, and all of a sudden, the man who caught nothing had so much fish that his boat was full. He beckoned to his friend, they filled their own boat. The two boats were sinking. That's the kind of blessing that we call embarrassing blessing. They had so much, their boats were sinking. But then if you get to verse 8, you will hear what Peter said. He fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Depart from me. Go away. I don't want your kind of partner." Brethren, a sudden mighty move of God could cause people, some people who had been standing, to be blown away from God. As new people are coming in, old people might be pushed out. Well, this could be for several reasons. Some of the people who are already feeling secure that, I mean, it is here they meet us. We've been here for years. We know what to do. We know what prayers to say. We know, I mean, I am the Sunday school superintendent. Who is that young fellow just coming? The fellow may come in with the power of the Holy Spirit and just blow away the Sunday school superintendent. I remember years ago, just about 3 years ago now, we were having a program in Abuja, Festival of Love or something. And I've been praying, Lord, perform miracles, let there be signs, let there be wonders. When the Lord stopped me, I said, son, why are you asking for miracles and signs and wonders? For your people, oh Lord, that's why they are coming, etc. He said, have you thanked me enough for all that I've done? Oh, sorry, Lord. Instead, I began to thank him. For 3 days, I refused to ask for anything. I just kept on thanking him. On the third day, he spoke to me and said, son, all you have seen thus far is expansion. An explosion is coming. He said, but go home and strengthen the foundations so that when the explosion comes, it will not blow off the foundation. I'm sure somebody is hearing. Is anybody hearing at all? Sorry, I told you that you might not be able to laugh on this. And you see, when revival, and it's coming, you can't stop it. It's too late now to stop. The devil knows it. And you are knowing it now. A revival is beginning in Europe from this month. When it comes, will you say to the Lord, depart from me? In Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 18, Acts chapter 10, verse 9 to 18, we hear again the story of Peter, the same Peter. And the Lord was about to launch him out into the real death of his life. And to prepare him, as he was about to send him to the Gentiles, he gave him a vision and lowered a container from heaven containing all kinds of creeping animals and all kinds of unclean beasts. And said to Peter, Peter, rise, kill and eat. Peter said, no, Lord. No, Lord. Now nobody says no to the Lord. If it's your Lord, the answer should be yes. But you know, he was more scriptural than the one who is the Word himself. He was trying to tell the Almighty God the way God should do his thing. He said, I've never, anything unclear has never touched my lips. No, Lord. I mean, no. The Lord said, Peter, what I call clean, call thou not unclean. He said, no, Lord. If you don't do it my way, then it's not going to be done. And Peter lost his ministry. See, Peter was to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But because he said, no, Lord, God transferred the ministry to Saul of Tarsus. I pray God will not replace you. Yeah. I didn't hear your amen. Yeah. Because in the revival that is coming, all kinds of people will come to the church. And some of you will turn up your nose against them. You can't come to our church. We don't dress like this. Look at the way you cut your hair. This part is painted white. That one is painted green. The center is completely removed. How can you come to our church and God will say, I die for them too? And so pastors will turn them out. And because God must bring these people in, he will have to turn out the pastor so that the congregation can come in. Are you hearing me? I mean, I remember very well when we started the Apapa Parish of the Redeemed Christian Church of God that finally gave birth to Jesus House here. We started in a cinema house. I can remember very well what I went through in the hands of my elders. They thought I had backslidden. A church in a cinema house. And not just a church, the Redeemed Christian Church of God.
I mean, if it were Adeboye evangelistic outreach, we will understand. But the redeemed Christian Church of God, and just as they were getting used to that, we began to have churches in hotels. That one, they didn't even know what to say. But while they were just thinking, what's going on? We started having churches in nightclubs. At that time, they thought I had definitely gone crazy. Glory be to God. I had to call a meeting and say, brethren, very soon we'll be having churches in mosques. Because those buildings are built for my Father. And we're going to use them. You're the one who asked me to talk on preparing for harvest too. Because you better prepare. Better prepare. Because they are coming. Because all these people that you see in the streets, and you would not even want to sit with them, you're going to take Holy Communion with them. Because they're going to come in because the Lord will bring them. And when the Lord brings them, you cannot send them out. If you will not receive them, they will throw you out anyway. Amen. If you want to find out whether it is true or not, why don't you ask why many, many churches, many, many beautiful cathedrals are empty in Europe? Because what God wants to do, the big men will not allow him. And so he said, well, if you won't allow, then I will do it my own way. It's about to do something. And I know I'm going to be right in the center of it. And that's why I'm telling you now to get ready. Will you be there too with me? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. And then if you read Acts chapter 5, verse 12 to 16. Acts 5, verse 12 to 16. The Bible tells us that the disciples were having a fantastic revival in Jerusalem. I mean, multitudes were being added to the church. And I'm sure Peter was saying, this is it. And James said, yes, brother. And they sat down. I mean, the shadow of Peter was healing. And I want to appeal to all of you. I don't want to tell you in advance what God will do next Friday. But whatever will stop you from coming, rebuke it in Jesus' name. Because Daddy just whispered to me a couple of days ago that the Holy Ghost service in London is going to be far, far different from that of Nigeria. And that is saying a lot. Because what God is doing in Nigeria is frightening, to put it mildly. Frightening. So to say that something is going to happen that will be higher than that, well, those who know me know what that one means. We shall see what we shall see. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that it will not be long before some of you here, market women, students, handsome men and beautiful women, to borrow from the choir master's language, it's not going to be long before you begin to raise the dead. And then the whole of Britain will begin to shout, Jesus is Lord. Yeah. And then that will be where the danger will lie. The children, the disciples were having a fantastic time in Jerusalem. Ah, this is it. We've got the revival. Hallelujah. And they forgot their world vision. Because what the Lord told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Acts 1 verse 8 is that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world. If you are not prepared, when the revival comes, you will want to hoard it. Keep it to yourself. Say, hey, we've got it, and we're going to keep it. And you do that,
persecution will come. That the Almighty God himself will raise up, not the devil. You know, many a times God is working and you say, it's the devil. When persecution arose, as we found in Acts chapter 8, verse 3 to 4, the church became scattered. And the Bible said those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. God said, you are not going to sit down here. This thing is to go around the whole world. Since you are not willing to go voluntarily, I send you by force. Prepare for the harvest. Because it's already here. And after that one, Philip went to Samaria, Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8 there. And a mighty revival broke through, broke out through somebody that they call a deacon. And who's a deacon? A deacon is somebody who serves bread to widows. You know, it's not even fit to be in the choir. But because the power of God is no respecter of persons, Philip took over a whole city. The Bible said there was great joy in that city. Thank God for the persecution that drove him away from Jerusalem. Some of my boys here will agree with me that for a long time I was saying, thank God, the church is growing. Glory be to God. But that's not the end of the story. Spread out. Take a couple of people, send them to another part of London and ask them to start something. Okay, daddy, we will do so, sir. We will do so, sir. And they did nothing. I mean, nothing. Then when one day when they found that my voice, which is normally quiet, began to rise a little bit, they said, trouble seemed to be coming. We better do a little bit. And people that were supposed to be nothing other than maybe drivers suddenly became pastors. And what do you discover? The church they were pastoring started growing. The people you think that God can ever use, God will use them. Is there anybody here that believes God can use him or her? Let me hear you shout hallelujah. But when Philip got to Samaria, he had already learned his lesson. That no matter how great the revival may be where you are, that is not an end in itself. So when the Almighty God now spoke to him and said, thank you, sir, Mr. City Evangelist, but we need you in the desert. He said, yes, Lord. You can read the story in the same Acts chapter 8 from verse 26 to 40. Here was a man who was having a fantastic success in a whole city. And God said, now it's time for you to go into the desert and speak to one man. And he said, yes, Lord. But that woman was not an ordinary woman. The man came from Ethiopia. And through that woman, the gospel came to Africa. Brethren, there are some of you that God will use mightily in Britain. I mean mightily. And just when you are beginning to say, now I think it is time to build a monument, I've arrived. Glory be to God. Now in my church on Sunday we have 10 services. And everywhere is packed. And now we have to beg people, those of you who come this Sunday, please don't come next Sunday, so that we can have accommodation for those who could not come in today. At that time, when you are about to settle down and build yourself a monument, God will send you to Libya. And you better say, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. And then there is one crucial point, and that is that there is a limit to the time for the harvest. I mean, like any farmer knows, when your harvest is ripe, if you don't harvest it within that period of time, that little time given for harvesting, the harvest will be gone forever. And if you read Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, Jeremiah 8, verse 20, it's a cry of some people. He says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. The great revival coming. The Spirit of the Lord will move mightily within a short period of time. If we don't prepare, we will discover that after the whole period is gone, we will have churches overflowing, but then we still meet some people on the way and said, how come I am not saved? Because it is the joy of the Father to save everyone. I mean, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Not just a little bit. So the Almighty God is telling you and I the time is now. I've just returned from a tour of our churches in East and Central Africa. I don't want to begin to tell you what happened in Kenya, what happened in Zambia, what happened in Malawi and Tanzania and so on. But I just want to tell you a little bit about what happened in Ethiopia. You know, Ethiopia had been under communist rule for several years. And they had tried completely to wipe out anything called God. But by the grace of God, the people are coming up again. And they arranged a meeting for me there to go and preach. There was a hall, and there's a hall there that's supposed to take 600 people. And the pastor doing the arrangement says, sir, the meeting is to begin by 6, but let's leave home by 6:30. I said, why? He said, so that we can get at least some people in before you arrive. I said, well, I'm not one to teach people to be late. If you told the people 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock we shall be there. If they come, fine. If they don't come, at least it will not be said that I was late. We got there by 6 o'clock to find 1,000 people already there. For the first time in a long while, I preached and I wept. Why? Because I was just telling them little testimonies. I mean, the kind of testimony that if you tell it in Nigeria, they will say, Daddy, tell us something big. And they got so excited, the congregation started weeping. And after some time, the interpreter started weeping. So I was the only one left. So I joined. After all, the Bible says, weep with those that weep. And at the end of one of the meetings, one of the pastors who had been there, an American who's been there for years, came to me and said, sir, are you open to criticism? I said, of course. I was trained as a mathematician. He said, how can you come to a whole country and spend 2 days? I said, I'm sorry. See, there's a lot of work back home in Nigeria. I said, you Nigerians are selfish. How can they have somebody like you and keep you to themselves all these years? And here we are, thirsty and dying. This time now I want to really cry. Not because the people are crying, but because I really wanted to cry. They are waiting for you there, brethren. Because the Almighty God is going to send His power on you, and you're going to take that power to them to set the captives free. I mean, while I was preaching, without praying for anyone, there was an 80-year-old woman whose entire body had been racked with pain, and God just touched her.
This message is concluded on the other side of this tape.
From verse 8 to 13, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 13, it's about a wealthy woman who had been taking good care of a man of God called Elisha. Gave him food, built him a house. And one day, as Elisha was lying down in the house built for him by this woman, the Holy Spirit spoke to Elisha and said, for this woman, harvest time has come. So Elisha said, well, I don't know if she needed anything. And called the woman, woman, you have been taking care of me all these years. What can I do for you in return? The woman said, I need nothing.
Brethren, whether you say you need the harvest or you don't, the harvest will come. You can't dodge it. It is absolutely impossible. The law of harvest is very, very rigid. Well, finally the man of God said, Lord, you hear? The woman said she needs nothing. The Lord said, that doesn't stop the law of harvest from working. Find out. She needs something. And if you read from verse 14 to 17, they then discovered that the woman was barren. And she was advanced in age. In fact, the Bible said the husband was old. But when the man of God heard that the woman was barren, he was happy. This woman was going to get a harvest that money cannot buy. You know, many a times when we give to God, and we give 9 pounds and pence and so on and so forth, the only harvest we are looking forward to is also pounds and pence. There are times the Almighty God will look at you and say, let me give you something that no money can buy. That's what he gave to this woman. When the man of God told her, woman, you are going to have a son, she said, I don't believe you. Don't lie to me. Brethren, whether you believe it or not, harvest will come. It will come. And if you know the story of Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, from verse 1 to 6. Cornelius was a very generous man too. He was always giving and giving. And one day the Almighty God said, time for harvest. And what he gave him in return for all that he's been doing was the salvation of himself and his entire household. Something again that money cannot buy. But I'm also sure that you know the story of Gehazi. Gehazi, you can read about him in 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 20 to 27. 2 Kings 5, 20 to 27. Gehazi is the servant of Elisha. Gehazi is a man who had the potential of becoming the greatest prophet the world had ever known. Because, if you know Elijah had so much power that all he had to say is, let fire come down from heaven and fire will fall. Elisha was then his servant. When Elijah was about to leave, Elisha said, I want double your power. And he got it. And if I can give you just a little insight, that's the kind of power coming for you in Britain. And here was Gehazi, being the servant of Elisha. If he had done what God expected of him, when it was time for Elisha to leave, he too could have said, I want double your power. He would have obtained 4 times the power of Elijah. But no, that was not what he was interested in. Anytime they went somewhere, anytime Elisha went somewhere, Gehazi would follow. And as soon as he arrived in the house, he began to collect information. Who is the rich man in this church? Who is the wealthy man here? How much can I make out of this thing? Oh, I know many of you have been put off Christianity because you have seen people making merchandise of it. Why don't you just wait? The harvest will come. Oh, it will. As the Lord lives. So one day, the harvest came for Gehazi. Naaman had been healed of leprosy. You know the story. And he brought a lot of money to Elisha. And Elisha said, I don't need your money. The power God gave me to heal, he gave me free. And the Bible says, freely you are given, freely give. So, no problem, go. As soon as Elisha said that one, he went inside. Gehazi said, my, oh my. This Oga does not want to prosper. Well, I want to prosper. I am going to get the money. I will follow after Naaman and I will get something from him. And he got something. You know what he got? He got leprosy. Because his day of harvest came. You know the story of Judas Iscariot very well. I mean, everybody knows that one. Even those who are not Christian, they never name their children Judas Iscariot. You wonder why? Because they didn't want their children to end up the way that man ended up. Judas Iscariot was the treasurer of the Almighty God. But he was regularly stealing from the pocket. And you know, Jesus knew, but he didn't do anything about it. Waiting for the day of harvest. When the day of harvest came, he got plenty of money and used it to buy a piece of land where he was to be buried. Many of us, because we are constantly committing sin, and the Almighty God does not seem to be doing anything about it, we think he doesn't know. As the Bible says, the one who made eyes, will he not see? The one who made ears, will he not hear? The word of God says with him there is absolutely no darkness. And science has been able to prove to us that with one or two equipments, even when it is midnight, everything can still be like noonday. We are dealing with a God that you cannot even shut out with doors. Because when he wants to come in, he doesn't need doors. Anywhere where there is air to breathe, God is there. And so many of us have been living in sin, doing all kinds of things, cheating on the council, cheating on this. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have mentioned that. That may include several people. And because nobody seems to know, we think God doesn't know. He does. And everything is being recorded. Waiting for the day of harvest. Meaning what? That we should prepare for the day of harvest. Because it's going to come. If you have been doing fine, you're a child of God, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, living holy, doing the work of God to the best of your abilities, congratulations, because your day of harvest is around the corner. But if you have been living in sin, disobeying God, as if God doesn't even know, as if he doesn't care, prepare. But I have an advice for you. There are two ways you could prepare. One is to tell God and say, well, if you are truly up there, do whatever you want to do. Let's settle the matter once and for all. That's what Eli said. When God warned him, Eli, I'm about to fight you. He said, it's God. Let him do what he wants to do. And God did. Wiped out his entire family in one day. But there's one beautiful aspect of the gospel. The Lord says in his word, if you make a tree good, its fruit will become good. That's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, 33. In other words, if I run to the Almighty God and I say, if harvest comes today, I am done for. Can't you help me? Can't you give me an opportunity to start all over again? He will say, you are welcome. You run to him and say, if I'm to begin to harvest now, there's no need deceiving myself. I am in trouble. Can you help me? He will say, sure, come. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 1 John 1, verse 7, the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from how many sins? All sins. He will say, come and wash in my blood. Let's wipe out every record that is against you with my blood. I mean, the Bible says it clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is what? A new creature. He said, all things are passing away. Behold, how many things become new? All things. If you come to him humbly, sincerely, and say, change my history, he will do so. Oh, I know him. He will do so. He will so change you that the one who used to be you will no longer be there. The one who had your history will be dead and forgotten. Otherwise, how can somebody like Paul say, I have wronged no man? The chairman, when they were stoning Stephen to death, said, I wronged no man. Why? Because one day he surrendered to the Lord on the road to Damascus. And Saul of Tarsus died. And Paul of Tarsus arose. I think I was sharing with some of my children yesterday. Or was it? I think it was yesterday, yeah? I gave them a little bit of my testimony. Some of you have had the testimony before. But I'm sharing it for the benefit of those of you who have never had it before. Talking about how God can change everything about your life. Change it so completely that your friends will not even recognize you if you will allow him. And I told them, I said, before I gave my life to Jesus, I had so many girlfriends, I didn't even know the number. You know, today I would think they are 13. Then I will remember, oh, I forgot Jane and Mary and this one. Oh, what about that Abigail and so on. But of all these, there was one that was extra close. We did everything together. Each time I said that, everybody looked up, they want to hear the details. I refuse to tell you the details. But then we became separated. She went her way, I went my way. She got married and I got married. Years passed. And I was working at that time at the University of Ilorin when all of a sudden they transferred her husband in his place of work to Ilorin. And she came with her husband. And she had a baby that was born lame. So when they arrived in Lorraine, somebody told her, there's a pastor up there. If he prays for this, your son, he will walk. So he brought the child to the mission house where I was staying. And I was in the living room, and there were some people at the veranda. So she got to the veranda and said, I want to see the pastor. They said, he's inside. So she opened the door. And when we saw, because we were what they used to call old flames, we greet her like the old flames greet. Hello, how are you? Where have you been? How has the world been treating you? Etc., etc. When we finished, she said, I want to see the pastor. So I said, yes, can I help you? She said, I want to see the pastor. I said, I'm the pastor. She said, you? You the pastor? I said, yes. She said, you will pray and God will answer. But you see, she didn't know that if you make a tree good, its fruit can be good. The law of harvest is powerful, but it's not as powerful as God. The Almighty is willing, if you will allow him tonight, to cleanse you in his blood, transform your life completely. Who knows, by this time next year, you might be a pastor. And your friends who have been drinking with you, fornicating with you, taking drugs with you, doing all kinds of rubbish with you, will say, you a pastor? And you will say, oh sure. After all, it is written, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Shall bow her heads, please. I just want you to meditate for just a minute on what we have heard. The harvest is coming. Harvest of soul will come. Nothing can stop it. The harvest for all the good things you have done will come. Nothing can stop it. And the harvest for all the evils that you have done are on the way. But the blood of Jesus can do something about that. So if there's anyone here tonight who will say, I think I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Before I begin to reap all the terrible things I have sown, I want his blood to intervene. Pastor, please pray for me that God will save my soul, that he will forgive my sins, that he will change my history. If there's anyone like that here in this congregation, will you please raise your hand now that all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed? If you say, Pastor, please pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want the Almighty God to forgive me. I want him. God bless you. Yes? Keep the hand up for just a minute. God bless you. Raise it very high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can see a hand up there too at the very back row. I can see other hands going up to you. Please raise your hand very quickly. I want to pray for you. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. God bless you. Yes, I can see more hands coming up. If you want the Almighty God, yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I can see more hands coming up now. God bless you. Any other person who wants to say, yes, Lord, I think I don't want to struggle with you any further. I want you, Lord, to take over my life now and forgive me all my sins. Wash me in your blood so that I can become a brand new creature. Any other person, very quickly. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Very, very quickly now. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Any other person? This is the final call. Remember, yes, God bless you. Thank you very much. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Any other person? Yes, yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Any other person very quickly now. This is the final call. The choice is yours. I've just told you the truth as I know it. And the word of God is forever settled. And God has given you the opportunity tonight now to say, yes, Lord, I'm surrendering. Yes, God bless you. Yes. Am I seeing another hand here? Okay, yes. Thank you very much. Any other person? The Lord brought you here to hear this message so that you can prepare. And the way you can best prepare is to ask him now to wash you in his blood, save your soul, transform you so that you become a brand new creature. Any other person? This is a final, final call. Anyone now, quickly, if you have not raised your hand before, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you. Any other person? This is a final call now. Anyone? Yes. Okay, yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You are taking a very wonderful decision now. Have you attended to all these people? All right. Any other person now? Glory be to God. Brethren, those of you who have given your life to Jesus, will you please join me in praying for these people who lifted their hands for salvation, that the Almighty God will save their souls, that he will wash them in his blood, that he will write their names in the book of life. And if you are still just deciding and you are just about to raise your hand, you can still do so very, very quickly. You can still do so very quickly. Any other person now? Let's pray for them, brethren, and say, Lord, save their souls. Have mercy on them. Wash them in your blood. Forgive all their sins. Transform their lives. Let them become brand new creatures for you, Lord. Let them become brand new creatures. Wipe away all their sins. Let this day be a new beginning for them, Father. A new beginning for them. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for them for at least one minute more. Ask the Almighty God to have mercy on them. And those of you who lifted your hands for salvation, talk to the Lord and say, Father, please receive me just as I am. And forgive me. Save my soul. Cleanse me in your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Let this day be a new beginning for me. Let this day be a new beginning for me. Let this day be a new beginning for me. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Eternal Rock of Ages, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your word, the very, very truth. I thank you because your word says we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. Thank you for telling us the truth today. And thank you that the truth will make us free. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. We thank you
for the mighty revival about to start, particularly here in Britain. We thank you that we are part of it. Whether the devil likes it or not, we are already part of it. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. King of glory, we pray, particularly for your children who have lifted their hands for salvation today. Every one of them, Lord, save their souls in Jesus' name. Have mercy on them. Forgive all their sins. Cleanse them in your blood. And write their names in the book of life. And Father, I pray that from today onward, they begin to live a brand new life. A life of purity, a life of holiness. So that on the day of judgment, my Father and my God, they will be able to smile. Father, let it be so in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, before I take my seat, there is one little thing God will want me to do. So there are many of us that would love to serve God, but we have certain things hindering us. Some it is sickness, some it is poverty, some it is one problem or the other that you cannot even share with anyone. I would love God to settle that one today, so that by tomorrow morning you are ready to run for the Lord. Is that okay by you? And now I want you to pray like you have never prayed before. I want you to pray like somebody who means business. And your prayer is, Lord, everything in my life that will not allow me to serve you the way I want to, remove it now. Shall we pray? And I mean pray. Everything in my life that will not allow me to serve you the way I want to, everything in my life that will not allow me to be a part of your program, everything that will not allow me to be in the forefront of this revival that is coming, remove it tonight, Father. Everything, whatever it may be, sickness, poverty, barrenness, sorrow, demons, everything in my life that will not allow me to serve you the way I ought to, everything in my life that will not enable me to be what you want me to be for you, my Father, my God, destroy today, destroy now, even now as I pray, to the glory of your holy name. Lord, help me today. Intervene vigorously in my life, everything, whether it be physical, financial, mental, emotional, or spiritual, that will not allow me to serve you to the best of my ability. Whatever it is, Father, destroy, 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 destroy today, now, as I pray, everything contrary to your will, my Lord and my Savior, everything that could hinder me from being the best that you want me to be for you, destroy today, Father, with your mighty power, destroy, even now as I pray, to the glory of your holy name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father. Well, I must obey my Father. He's just told me that you should join hands. Join hands with somebody. And pray for the fellow you are joining hands with. And say, Father, let this man, this woman, be a vessel unto honor. Let's talk to the Almighty God. This brother, this sister, let him, let her be a vessel unto honor in your hands from now on. King of glory, one way or the other, this brother, this sister, let him, let her be a vessel unto honor in your hands, O Lord. Oh, these are your children, Father. Every one of them, Father. Let them become vessels unto honor in your hands. Mighty vessels unto honor. Yes, O Lord, do it. Glorify your name. Mighty vessels unto honor. In your hands, O Lord. Mighty vessels unto honor. Every one of them. Let them become mighty vessels unto honor. In your hands, O Lord.
mighty vessels that will go forth, Lord God Almighty, and bring mighty, mighty revival to the whole wide world. Let it be so, my Father. Empower each and every one of them. Empower them, Lord. Make them vessels unto honor, to the glory of your name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Daddy, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for the great love that you have for these people. I know that somehow their lives can never be the same again. Because I know there is power in your word. You have spoken to them. You have sent your word to them. And I know you have healed them. I know you have delivered them. I know you have given them victory. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that every hindrance in their lives that could prevent them from becoming vessels unto honor, every hindrance in their lives that could prevent them from being in the forefront of this your plan for the end times, every hindrance, whether physical, mental, financial, spiritual, marital, or otherwise, every hindrance, Father, destroy today in Jesus' name. With your mighty power, my Lord and my God, set your people free in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that even beginning from now, these your children will become vessels unto honor. Anyone they touch from today onward, let them receive miracles. Everywhere they go, let there be a revival. In all their churches, let there be a revival. Even in their homes, let there be a revival. In their towns and villages, let there be a revival. And let your name be glorified. Bless them, O Lord. Bless them mightily. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Now let's give the Lord a big hand. Thank you, Father.
And the Lord sent his word to heal them and deliver them from their destruction. There is power in God's word. Thank you for listening to today's message from Pastor E.A. Adeboye, the General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. We believe you've been blessed. If you need this message on audio CD, please contact RCCG Internet Outreach, USA, PO Box 710874, Houston, Texas, USA, or call 281-541-3864 or visit the Nigeria office at 15 Erickmore Close off Erickmore Street, Surulere, Lagos, Nigeria. Telephone 234-890-5822. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.